Praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And the Bible said that where two or three are gathered together, there he is in the midst of us. Father, we thank you and we bless you. We thank you for bringing us into your house now, your virtual house, where I'm connected with my brothers and sisters around the world. Precious Father, we ask that you teach us today. Open our minds, open our hearts, open our understanding. And give me utterance, Lord, to speak only your word, Father. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. God bless you, beloved. This is Brother Joshua here again by the mercies of the Most High God. We have been speaking about Christian growth. And on that topic, we have gone into the parable of the sower as a subtopic. And we spoke about the four kinds of soil that Jesus says they are. The four kinds of people. And in the fourth kind, the good ground, Jesus spoke about the three kinds of the fourth kind. And we have been speaking about that, the 30-fold, the 60-fold, and the 100-fold. And today I'm going to pick up, by God's mercies, on where we stopped at the last episode. We stopped at the, we stopped with the discussion on righteousness. And we spoke about the different kinds of righteousness. And we picked out six kinds of righteousness from the scriptures. But now staying on that, I want to continue on the issue of the righteous being the 30-fold soil, the 30-fold soil. And remember, we spoke from 1 Peter 4:18 that if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We noted that the righteous is scarcely saved. He almost didn't make it. He made it, but he almost didn't make it. Almost. But he made it. Thank you, Jesus. Now, we see as an example of that, you know what, let's just go to our reference. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to verse 43. Luke 23, 39 to 43. I hope you have your Bibles. I hope you bring them out. I hope you read along. Please don't take my word for it, unless you see it in the word of God, please. Yeah, we've spoken about this in the much earlier episodes. You have to search the scriptures and hold on to the things that are true. Now, Luke 23, from verse 39 to verse 43, the Bible says, and one of the malefactors which was hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward for our deeds. But this man has done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. Beloved, this is a wonderful example of the 30-fold soil. It's a wonderful example. The Bible says in Romans 10, verse 9 and 10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The believer starts as a 30-fold return, because when we believe with our heart, when that word is sown in our heart, that seed, the word that stays the same, the seed is always the same. When the word of God is sown in our heart and we believe with our heart and we confess with our mouth, that is acceptable to God, and he counts us righteous, just like the thief on the cross. There are no issues with the heart. Notice that. There are no issues with the heart of this brother. He acknowledges he's a sinner. He tells his co-thief that we are both thieves. And he acknowledges that Jesus is the spotless person amongst them. And we know that Jesus is the spotless Lamb of God. Now, the good ground that we read about, the fourth kind of soul, the Bible says that they have a good heart, if you remember the characteristic. And in this case, this thief on the cross has no issues with a bad heart. His heart is clear. If you remember the characteristics of the good soul that we read in Luke 8 and 15, it says, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. When we look at this brother on the cross, we see that he heard the word. What was the word? Is the same word that the woman with the issue of blood heard. Is the same word that blind Bartimaeus heard. They all heard about Jesus. That this Jesus, yes, he is a miracle worker. Yes, this Jesus is the Son of God. Yes, that this Jesus, he is spotless. He has done no wrong. This Jesus is innocent. They all heard that word. If you are in Jesus' day, you would have heard about Jesus. Now, when he heard the word, he believed the word, and that was what he brought forth the fruit of his confession. That was acceptable to the Lord. Because remember what Romans said, Romans 10:9, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believed in her heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So the seed came in his heart, he believed, and the fruit of his lips, his confession, was acceptable with God as a 30-fold return. Because he's a new believer. There was no time for him to bring forth more fruit, because he died. There was no time for him for thorns to grow up in his heart to choke that fruit. He died. Now we see your not so new believer is a little different. For example, Luke 13, verse 6 to 9. We spoke about this before. He spake also, talking about Jesus, he spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Now, if he was planted in his vineyard, remember Isaiah 61 says we are the planting of the Lord. Trees of righteousness. For him to be planted in this vineyard, it means he's in the garden of the Lord. Remember now, we are grafted from the wild olive tree and engrafted to the good tree, which is Christ, because we're also his branches. So for this fig tree to be in the Lord's vineyard, he's saved. The sheep of his pasture, he's saved, using another form of imagery. Now, Luke 13, verse 7 says, verse 6, he spake, a certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. He came and sought fruit thereon and found none. Then said he to the dresser of the vineyard, behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree and find none. Cut it down. Why compare it to the ground? And he answered, said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it, and if it be a fruit, well, and if not, after that thou shalt cut it down. So the not so new believer faces some challenges that the thief on the cross didn't face, because he was dying on the cross. What are we saying? We're saying simply this, the righteous are scarcely saved. The thief on the cross was scarcely saved. He almost missed the kingdom. But his belief in who Christ was and is, and his confession of the same, and his supplication to the Lord to remember him in his kingdom, that's when it's an acknowledgement of his lordship, he's going to have a kingdom, was counted unto the thief on the cross as a 30-fold return, and he got into kingdom. Mm-hmm. He didn't have any other fruit, none, but his confession was sufficient. Because thereafter he died. Now, beloved, the ground with thorns, the third kind of soil, of the four kinds Jesus spoke about in the parable of the sower, the ground with thorns is like the 30-fold good ground that retrogressed, that fell back, that went backwards. Matthew 13 and 22, the Bible says, he also that receives seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. Luke says it this way, Luke 8 and 14, and that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. The ground with thorns, their heart become corrupted, because the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke their confession of Christ. Mm-hmm. It chokes the confession that they made in Romans 10:10. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. With the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But when the heart with which you believe unto righteousness becomes corrupted, there's a problem. Because it says the deceitfulness of riches, says the cares of this world. For example, a person may ponder in his heart and they will say, you know what? If I say homosexuality is a sin according to the Bible, what do people think of me? You know, would they leave my church? You see, that's the cares of this world. They are more interested in having a crowd in what they call a church. They are more interested in having that number than speaking God's truth for fear of offending men. But I heard the three Hebrew boys say, O king, we're not careful to answer you on this matter. This idol is an idol. We're not going to bow to this idol. But when today the pastor or the preacher or whoever is pondering in his heart, he's walking on slippery ground. He's messing with sin because he's now caring about the world than God's word. Or somebody may say, you know what? You know, I'm wealthy now and, you know, I can do whatever I want and so forth. And the deceitfulness of riches, you know, I can fulfill evil fantasies and nobody will find out. Well, go and ask David if nobody found out about Bathsheba. These things, the corruption of the heart and the deceitfulness of riches, they choke the righteousness and the salvation of Romans 10:10, because the person is now believing a lie and their confession of faith is without works. Works here meaning fruit, the fruit of faith. And James says, faith without works is dead. Beloved, let us look at John 15 and see what Jesus, what he says about fruiting, because it's applicable. It dovetails into what he said about the 30, 60, and 100-fold return, because those are 30, 60, and 100-fold fruiting, if you please. Because the seed is the same. The seed is the same. The seed is the same, but the different soils bring forth fruit 30-fold, bring forth fruit 60-fold, bring forth fruit 100-fold. Jesus said in John 15:1, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Now, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. So, the branch or the soil, because we're, those parables are saying the same thing. Those imageries are saying the same thing. The planting of God or being engrafted into the tree, which is Christ. He is the true vine and we are the branches. The end result in both cases is he's looking for the fruit. He's looking for the fruit. Now, Jesus says he is the true vine and every branch in him or every soil that doesn't bear fruit. In this case, he says the branch, that branch will be cut off. There's the same imagery in the book of, I believe it's the book of Romans, where he talks about the we're being grafted from the wild olive tree and being engrafted into the good tree. The good tree, that's Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11, it says verse 17, and if some of the branches be broken off and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakers of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou beareth not the root, but the root beareth, but the root thee. So, is a co-joining, if you please, of different imageries, but the imageries are saying the same thing. They're saying the same thing. John 15, verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. He cuts it off. It's cut off. The same way, if you look at a soil that does not bear fruit, the same thing happens to it. We see that in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 7 and 8. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh often upon it, and bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. So, those first three kinds of soil, the wayside, the stony ground, and the thorny ground, their end is to be burned. The only ground that will not be burned is the fourth kind of ground, which is the good ground. Let me give you that reference again. Hebrews 6, verse 7 and 8. But in the good ground, the Lord identifies three kinds. I'm sorry, I'm going over this again. Forgive me, please. Now, of those three kinds of the good ground that will not be burned, we are dealing with the first kind, which is the 30-fold ground. And the bottom line in all of this is fruiting. The first three soils did not bring an acceptable fruit from the seed, the word that God planted in them. In the good ground, the fourth kind of soil, the Lord received three kinds of yield from his seed, from his word that he planted. Three different measures of fruiting. And Jesus is speaking about that when he says in John 15, I am the true vine, my father is a husbandman, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. What does that mean? It is cut off. And if it's cut off, men gather it and they burn them. Let me just read on. Every branch in me that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that he may bring forth more fruit. So, if the branch is bringing forth some fruit, he says, the Father, our Father, will harvest the fruit from us so that we can have more fruit. He will purge the fruit we have. He will take the fruit we have. Say, I need some more. Because if you're a farmer, if you have a garden, you will notice, for example, if you grow just some herbs, like some leaves that you cut for your salad or whatever, for your soup, the more you cut them, the more they shoot out more branches to produce more leaves for your salad. So the cutting here is a purging. But the branch that is not bringing food, he cuts and takes it away. Verse 3, he says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Verse 4, he now starts to give us the secret. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. no more can ye except ye abide in me. Say, I'm abiding in Jesus, Josh. What you talking about? I've been a Christian for 25 years. I've been a Christian for 100 years. Praise the Lord, brother. Praise the Lord, sister. I'm happy you are. That's great. I'm not having a fight with you. Please. Verse 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. It says, if we don't abide in him, that is going to come and cut off that branch from the tree, which is Christ, and they are withered. Mm-hmm. And men gather them and cast them into a fire, and they are burned. Notice now, the branches are now cast forth, and they have their end like the soil that had no return or yield from the water and the rain and so forth that came on it. Please keep that in mind. I know we're doing parallels of two different imageries. So please get it. Maybe you may need to listen to this again, but we're doing parallels between, and they are complementary parallels, by the way. They are not divergent, and they're not going opposite ways. The parable of the sower and the imagery that he gives us with Christ being the vine and we being the branches from that vine. Now, verse 7 of John 15. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now he's saying, how is our Father glorified? When we bear much fruit. Much fruit starts from 30-fold. And you produce more fruit, 60-fold. And you produce more fruit, 100-fold. And by the way, I may be wrong, but when I searched, I didn't see any number greater than 100-fold written as a X-fold return. You know, we talked about 4-fold. We've seen 7-fold. We've seen 77-fold. It's all in the Word. 30-fold, 60-fold. But I've never seen anything written beyond 100-fold. So our Father is glorified when we bear much fruit. When we graduate, when we move on from 30. He accepts 30, by the way, which is great. Praise the Lord. Some of us are scarcely saved, but we are saved. Hallelujah. We're in that boat. But he wants us to go on to 60-fold, and he wants us to go on to 100-fold. Now look at verse 9 of John 15. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now listen now. I'm just reading the Bible. Continue ye in my love. Mm-hmm. I love you, but I need you to continue in my love. Verse 10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. You shall continue in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Okay, now we've spoken about this before. Some people have, I don't know which word to use here. Some people have been bold enough to say that this is works-based Christianity. You know, they are telling God, basically, in my humble opinion, that God is not saying what he means, or he doesn't mean what he says. Yes, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. God loved us while we were yet sinners. All that is true. But that is a portion of the truth. If you go back to the first episode, the very first, we spoke about balancing. The word of God balances itself. Just like Satan trying to tempt Jesus, says, jump off this, you know, this on top of the temple, and he has given his angels charge over you. That's the truth. It's in the Bible. But it's half the truth, because there's a counterbalance to that verse, which Jesus told the devil and says, but it is also written that you shall not tempt God. You can't tempt God. So that's the whole truth when you join both sides together. Yes, God loved us while we were yet sinners. Yes, God loved the world. Yes, God sent his son to die for us while we were doing the worst things in the world. All that is true. But the same Jesus is saying that we that know him, we that know his truth. He's speaking to his disciples here. They have known him. They have known his word. He's saying, listen, guys, you need to obey me. You need to keep what I tell you, so that you will abide in my love. That even me, Jesus, I abide in my Father's love because I keep his commandments. It's right there. You can't make this kind of things up, beloved. John 15, verse 9 and 10. This is not works-based Christianity. No. Jesus is merely asking for fruit. Yes, it's for fruit. Because I believe it's 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. It speaks about that. Let me open that very quickly. 1 John, I believe, chapter 4. Yes. It says, we love him because he first loved us. Let me put it this way. The Lord loved us while we hated him. After we came to know that he loved us, he now requires for us to love him back. And he says, if you love me back, you keep my commandments. He says, we can love him back because he first loved us. He's asking for fruit based on the seed he planted. If somebody comes to you and asks for mangoes, and he gave you an orange seed, you can tell he's looking to start a fight with you because he's not being reasonable. Same thing. The husbandman that planted the fig came to the fig tree and was looking for figs. He's very reasonable. Oh, well. Beloved, my time is up. I need to stop. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. You are named of the Lord and he will bless you. He suffers no man to do you wrong. He rebukes kings for your sake, saying, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. You shall not harm yourself and you shall always walk with the mind of Christ. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The word of God says that they that know their God, they shall be strong and they shall do exploits. Beloved, I command you in the name of the Lord Jesus, go and do exploits in Jesus' precious name. Amen.